Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? I probably should only get half wages this week because my job's been half done for me. Luke told us right up front the meaning and the application of this parable of Jesus. He said, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Right? So there you go. That's today's message. That's it. You might as well all go home. We ought always to pray and not lose heart. But we will dig into it a bit. Sometimes when Jesus tells a parable, he uses a simile or a comparison. You know, he tells the story and then goes, God is like this. He does it, you know, just like that. But then there's other times, like today, where he does the opposite. He doesn't use a simile, he uses a contrast. Tells a story and then goes, God is not like that. But before we get too far into it, let's set the scene. So leading up to this, Jesus has just been teaching about the coming kingdom of God, teaching about the return of Jesus and the day of judgment. And he said, there's going to be times when you long for the kingdom to come, but you won't see it. And of course, the times when Christians most long for God's kingdom to come is when they're suffering persecution. And they cry out, come, Lord Jesus, make things right. Here we are, we're holding on to the faith, but the world's authorities and others in the world are coming down on us because of our faith, and it hurts. And so they pray, and they pray, and they pray for Jesus to come, for Jesus to come back. And in chapter 17, Jesus says, you will long for this. You will long for the days of the Son of Man, but you won't see it. But then he went on to teach them that when that day does come, the return of Jesus is going to be visible. You're not going to miss it. There's not going to be anything secret about the return of Jesus. And between the return of Jesus and the time of judgment, there is no gap. Everyday life will be proceeding along as per normal. And then instantly, Jesus returns. And the door that is currently open to salvation will all of a sudden be shut. So that's what he's taught. And what persecuted Christians long for is a big word called vindication. Are you familiar with that word, vindication? To be vindicated is for a judge to rule in your favour. Right? So when a false allegation has been made against you, you are vindicated. When the judge makes a judgment and says, that is a lie, you are just in what you've done. When you are charged by ungodly world standards, or maybe even convicted by ungodly world standards, a righteous judge steps in and overturns that judgment, you are vindicated. When you suffer persecution, when you suffer abuse, when you suffer ridicule, the righteous judge steps in and takes action. That's vindication. And the thing with vindication is not only that the evil are punished, probably more importantly, is that the righteous are recognized as being righteous. And it's recognized that they were unjustly treated or unjustly accused. So those who have been suffering are vindicated because it has been revealed as unjust, the suffering that they were going through. You with me? Everything seems haywire at the moment. But the righteous judge steps in and sets everything straight. All right, so let's turn to the parable. In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. Now, that doesn't sound like a good person to have deciding your fate, does it? He doesn't care about God, doesn't even care about people, doesn't care what people even think of him. Right, so the one who is responsible for administering justice in that jurisdiction has no commitment to justice. That just sounds awful. And there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Give me justice against my adversary." Now we don't know what the case was, and that's not really what's important. What is important is she's described here as being a widow. It is a picture of one who is powerless. She is vulnerable. She is someone who cannot stand up for herself. And yet she had an adversary. She had somebody who was standing against her, and it's evident from this parable that her adversary was unjust because she's calling for a judge to rule and to give justice, and he won't. And we don't know what her adversary had done. We don't know what he or she had done or what he or she was doing against this widow. Maybe they were mistreating her. Maybe they were cheating her. Maybe they were robbing her. Maybe they were falsely accusing her. We do not know, but she would bring this situation before the judge. And he didn't care. She didn't care. And so she'd bring a case again and tell the judge again what's been happening, and the judge just didn't care. So she'd do it again and again and again, over and over and over again. She would come to the judge, "Give me justice against my adversary." And for a while he refused. But after a while, it got to him. And he thought to himself, "I don't care about God. I don't even care about people. I don't even care what they think of me. Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I guess I will give her justice so that she'll not beat me down with her continual coming." By the way, that bit that says "beat me down" in the original Greek, it's sort of literally saying "give me a black eye." One feisty widow. But I think it's... simply means what it says. Even though he doesn't care, it would be easier for him to give justice than to just put up with her coming over and over and over again. And the point of the parable, it is a contrast. God is not like that. And if even the most unrighteous judge can be swayed by continual requests, what about our righteous God? Will not God give justice to his elect, Jesus says. So the elect are God's people, God's chosen ones, Christians. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Right? So up to this point, it's actually been reasonably easy to follow. But how does this now align with the context that I just told you about? Jesus has just said to his disciples, "You're going to long for the day of my coming and you won't see it." And Luke itself is a gospel which is written to a church who have been fully expecting the return of Jesus to happen quickly. And they're starting to wonder, is he ever going to come back? We're still waiting and waiting and waiting. And in Revelation chapter 6, we catch a glimpse of the very throne room of God And under the altar are the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God and for the witness that they had borne for Jesus. This is the persecuted church. These are the ones who have died for their faith. And there they are in God's most precious place. And they cried out with a loud voice, "O sovereign God, holy and true, how long before you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" They're calling out, "How long?" And now Jesus is saying, will he delay long? He will give justice to them speedily? How does that add up? Doesn't seem speedy, does it? And if you are someone who has ever suffered injustice, it just seems to go on and on. And when a person has it out for you and you just long for the truth to be known and for their false accusations to be dealt with and for people to just know that, hey, this person's been so badly treated, it just seems to go on and on and on. And you cry out to God, "God, make things right. Where's your vindication?" Will he delay long? He will give justice to them speedily. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter explains this. He sort of talks about how it seems like Jesus has been really slow in coming. He says, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day." So like it seems a long time for us since Jesus ascended into heaven. We've been waiting a long time. On God's timeline, how long has God been waiting? About 2 days. Because 1,000 years is like a day. He says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." God isn't slow. And if God does seem slow to me, guess whose concept of timeliness is out of whack? Mine. And so we have to accept that God doesn't work to your timetable. And God doesn't work to my timetable. So let's stick to the promise of God. His promise is that he will give justice speedily. Yes, God is delaying the day of judgment for now. Why? Because he's a God of love. And because he's giving the unsaved time to repent. He's even giving the unsaved who even persecute Christians, he's giving them time to turn to him and to be saved. But when the day of judgment does come, on the day that Jesus returns, he will give justice and it will be speedy. He's not going to about it. He's not going to take the popular line, "Oh, I don't want to offend so-and-so, so I've got to sort of turn down the justice a bit." He won't be swayed by bribes or false motives. He is the God of truth. He is the God of justice. He's the God of love. He's the God of mercy. And he will judge justly. Be in no doubt, he will bring vindication to those who are his who suffer. So the word of the Lord is, don't lose heart. Keep on praying. Are you crying out for justice? Don't lose heart. Keep on praying. Are you at your wit's end? Are you starting to feel, I don't think God's hearing my prayers. Yes, he is. And in his time, our Lord will act. Those who are his will be vindicated. Don't give up. Keep on praying. In this parable, we learn our total dependence upon God. It's not an accident that the afflicted character in this parable is a widow, because in their culture, this is a person who is powerless, who is vulnerable. And we are too. As disciples of Jesus, we are sometimes utterly powerless against the forces in a corrupt world. Sometimes we are utterly powerless against those things that persecute us. And the way of Jesus isn't that we take arms to fight. What do? We cry out to the one who is our only hope, because we know we are powerless. And so we cry out to our Heavenly Father. We cry out to, O righteous God. We cry out to the eternal just judge, the one who does act and who will act. And when he does act, it's going to be decisive. And on that day, the people of God will be vindicated. Those who have suffered, they're going to be comforted. Those who have been slandered are going to be honored. Those who have been killed are going to have eternal life. Those who have cried out to God for so long will receive the justice that they've craved. And Jesus finishes off essentially with a reminder. Kingdom living, patiently waiting for the return of Jesus, takes faith. He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find a people who are trying to take things into their own hands? Is he going to find a people who sort of give up? Or is he going to find faith on earth? And that's a challenge for you and I. Don't give up. Just because by our expectations, God seems to be slow in answering our prayer, don't give up. Don't give up. Have faith. Keep on praying. And this is pretty much what Jesus taught us when he gave us the Lord's Prayer. And we pray, your kingdom come. And we're going to pray that prayer together now, the prayer that Jesus taught us, and it's going to be up on the screen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.